Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. Today we will be discussing the topic, who is Allah and who is Muhammad? Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In our discussion today, we will look at chapter 59, verses 23, 24 and 25. In these verses, Allah the Almighty describes Himself, explains to us Himself that who He is and what His attributes are like. So here, God Almighty states, He is Allah and there is no God beside Him, the knower of the unseen and the seen. He is the gracious, the merciful. He is Allah and there is no God beside Him, the Sovereign, the Holy One, the Source of Peace, the Bestower of Security, the Protector, the Mighty, the Subduer, the Exalted. Holy is Allah, far, far above that which they associate with Him. He is Allah, the Creator, the Maker, the Fashioner. His are the most beautiful names. All that is in the heavens and the earth glorifies Him, and He is the Mighty, the Wise. What we are discussing is that who is Allah and who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To some, especially particularly to our members of the Jamaat, this topic might seem very, easy to understand, that it is not a very complicated topic. But because it is important in this reason, that a lot of people that we come across, they ask Muslims this question. To them, these two names, Allah and Muhammad, they don't know who is who and what is the role of each of them. Whom do we worship? Whom do we listen to? Do we worship multiple gods or different things like that exist in people's minds? So for us members here, we need to understand very clearly that, you know, when somebody asks us this question, how we can approach. And those of our guests that might be here joining maybe they've attended before, but to them, I hope that it will benefit them, that they will understand the concept of God in Islam much more clearly. So let's first look at the word Allah. Who is Allah? And if you notice these verses that I read out, I told you that this Allah the Almighty, this is revelation scripture from God Almighty, Allah the Almighty, and Allah is describing Himself. So from there, it becomes obvious that whom we believe Allah to be. So as Muslims, we believe in one God, unity of God. Even these verses that I was just reciting, if you notice, two of those verses began with the phrase, Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu. He is Allah and there is no God beside Him. He is Allah and there is no God beside Him. So one of the most fundamental aspects of the religion of Islam is that we worship one God. We worship Allah. We worship one God and there is no God beside Him. There is no God beside Him. This is the fundamental and the most important teaching in the religion of Islam. And now, let us look at this word Allah. What does it mean? Do we believe in a different God from other religions? So how Muslims understand it is, or what Allah has told us is, that Allah is the personal name of God Almighty. Personal name of God Almighty. You can call Him God. It would refer to the same being. But the name of Allah or name of God Almighty is personal name is Allah. What it means in itself is God. So the God, the one God. This is what itself literally means. But then this is also the personal name of Allah. But then does that mean that all the other scriptures, all the other revelations that might have come different parts of the world over the course of thousands of years, there some different words might have been taught for God Almighty, for the Supreme Being. Is that a different being taught in those scriptures and a different being taught in Islam? No, absolutely not. In Islam, we believe that there is only one God, and He has been guiding mankind from time immemorial, from the time that mankind was ready to receive revelation, was ready to spiritually advance. Because initially, when man was created, at that time, our development was very slow, meaning we could not even communicate with one another. We didn't even know many of the tools, we didn't have any of the tools and strategies that we have today, or even 1,000 years ago at our disposal. So the first man is not the same person that started to receive revelation from God Almighty, but rather when mankind's capability of understanding and increasing in spirituality reached a certain point, God Almighty started to reveal Himself to mankind. And that is same being thousands of years ago, that was Allah, and the one that speaks even today to anyone, that is Allah. It is the same God Almighty. Allah is the personal name of God, but otherwise it is not something that you know, if we say God, we say a different being, and we say Allah, we say a different being. No, we refer to the same being. Then also it is to note that in the Holy Quran, God Almighty says that all the good names belong to Allah. All the good names belong to Allah. So whatever, you can call Him with any of those names, because all the good names belong to Allah the Almighty. So even if we say the word God, God Almighty, or the Gracious, or the Creator, or the Master, all these describe Him, the Supreme One, the Supreme Being. You know, all these describe God Almighty. As long as that is our intention, then we are referring to the same being. So that is the first part to understand about Allah. And that what we believe is the same as other religions. In other religions now, there are some religions that believe in multiple gods. Like, for example, you have the concept of Hinduism, where, you know, the idols and different things number into millions that Hindus worship. But even in their faith, they refer to as one being, as the supreme being above them all. So Allah the Almighty is that supreme being. That is it. And we do not worship anyone else. We do not worship angels. We do not worship anyone else, or those things that God Almighty has created. We do not worship them. We worship Allah alone. So whichever religion you pick up, there is always that supreme being that is referred to, that is spoken of. That is who Allah is. You can call Him Allah. You can call Him God. You can call Him Yahweh. Whatever is described, as long as it is a good word that describes God Almighty, God says, it is my name, and it is for, basically, I can be referred through it. So now, even when you look at Christianity, in Christianity, you have the concept of Trinity. So there it becomes three distinct, to be, when you look at it critically, three distinct individuals or three beings that are worshipped or can be worshipped. But even in those three, the Father that is referred to as sometimes as referred to as the one that has always been there, the one that is eternal, that has always existed, the one that is all powerful, that even Jesus was praying to Him. So that being, when you refer to that being, that is Allah, that is God. You can call Him different names. I mean, based on religion, that does not matter. But that is who Allah is. When we say, as Muslims, we say Allah, we are referring to that same being that sent thousands of prophets, hundreds of thousands of prophets in the course of thousands of years all over the world, giving the same fundamental teaching to worship one God and to serve humanity. That is Allah. That is God. And in Islam, we believe that there is only one God. And to every religion, to every prophet, every messenger, Allah said there is only one God. You should worship Him alone, love Him alone, with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. One God alone. This is Allah. And we believe that all the religions, all the prophets that have come, they taught the same thing. Now, how do we know about God? How do we learn about God? First of all, Allah the Almighty has given us this nature, innate nature, that we, if we reflect, if we think, if we ponder over nature, everything points to one God. That is, Allah the Almighty describes that in your nature, in your conscience, it has been placed that there is only one God. But beside that, prophets of God Almighty who receive revelation from Allah also describe who God is, who explain to us who God is. Now, to understand God, to learn more about God, the concept would be very similar to learn about something else. If I, you know, if I want to know someone, for example, let's say that you one day you're not at home one day, and I visit your house, and one of the children there receives me, and he asks me that or he tells me that you are away. So if there is any message, I can leave. So I leave my message, I even leave my name. But I leave from there, you come back home, and your child tells you that, you know, so and so came. But to you, you do not recall my name, or name doesn't, you don't remember anything with the name. You start asking the child, who was it? Can you describe him to me? You can ask him like how tall he was, what kind of clothes was he wearing? Was he wearing a cap? If so, what kind of cap was he wearing? All these different things you will start to find out from the person that met me, and try to find out who it is. And maybe if you have seen me, if you know who I am, then maybe because of that, it will help you to recognize me, or connect it with the person that came by your door. Same thing applies to God Almighty. You want to know who God is, you have to know his attributes, his characteristics. When you ask about me, if I come to your place, you would be asking my physical traits. What do I look like? How tall I am? What kind of clothes I was wearing? But God Almighty is not a physical being. So because of that, his characteristics, his what defines him is not his physical characteristics at all then. It is his attributes, who he is, what he does, describes God Almighty. So these verses that I had recited earlier, basically, they speak about God Almighty and they describe who God is. These are just three verses I've taken from the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, throughout, some of these verses, some of these attributes have been repeated in so many different places. And then there are about 99 or 100 names or attributes of Allah the Almighty that are mentioned throughout the Holy Quran. And that is how we recognize, we learn about who God is. Some of those attributes you've heard, they include the gracious, the merciful, the master, the creator, the one who listens to your prayers, the healer, the wise, the almighty, the forgiving, the punishing, the provider, and so on. There's close to 100 names mentioned in the Holy Quran that describe to us who God is. Now, when you look further into each of these characteristics, you try to delve into them, think about them, reflect upon them, that is when you start to recognize God. Just knowing these attributes is not enough. Now, when you know these attributes, you take these attributes and you start your search in your own heart, in your mind, around you, in every place that you go, that I want to see who God is. Now you have the description. You can go search for God. For example, if I come by your door and you had never met me before that time, even when if your child told you all the descriptions about me, you would not know who I am. You would be able to paint a picture perhaps in your mind, but you still would not know. So now, at least because you have an idea when you go out, if you see me, if you have an idea that this is where I should be, if I had left that information where I was going, then you would go, and even if there's a 50, 20 people, 30, 40 people sitting, with the description that you were given, you would be able to find. This is the case with God Almighty, that just saying that I've read the Holy Quran, now I know who God is, what God is, how he is, and I have a connection with him, I found him. No, that is not it. These are the attributes of God Almighty. Once you learn them, you think about them, you ponder upon them, the more you reflect, the closer you get to God Almighty. The closer you get to understanding God Almighty. This is who Allah is. So this is important, that we know we have the right description. We don't have the wrong description. If we have the wrong description, if we have things that we have made up with our own mind that this is what God is supposed to be like, then we could search for hundreds of years of our entire lifetime, we wouldn't be able to find God. But once you have the right description that has been brought to you by, shared to you, with, you know, through the prophets of God Almighty, that have seen God, that have witnessed God, that have lived, walked with God, then you have the right description to begin that search on your own as well. This is how you find God Almighty. This is how you find God in nature. This is how you find God in humanity, in people. This is how you find God in your own heart. Because you recognize him through his characteristics. Each of these characteristics require, you know, a lengthy discussion that how God is the merciful, the gracious, the healer, the provider. You know, His Holiness has delivered sermons on this topic when he became the Khalifa, into the current Khalifa, when he became the Khalifa, the worldwide head of Ahmadiyya Muslim community. At that time, he started off, because the previous Khalifa during his lifetime was giving sermons on the attributes of God Almighty. So current Huzur, when he became Khalifa, he continued that series and he started to speak about attributes of God Almighty. And each sermon, you know, usually one attribute would go into multiple sermons because that much would need to be elaborated on it. So there is so much that we can go into each of these attributes to understand God. And that is what is required if we are to find God. Just knowing these attributes in themselves is not enough. The search then begins. The more you search, the more you reflect, the more closer you get to God Almighty. You know, this topic is so vast that naturally there are so many questions that one might have, but it is not possible to go into each of, even some of them, I would say, because we are starting from very basic things. We're starting from the foundation, so therefore it is hard to go into each and everything and cover everything. But one question that might be asked is that why we cannot see God. This is just one question that very often people who are looking for God or who have the desire, or even those who don't even have the desire, but because they in the modern world, looking at science and all these other things there, because their parents have never trained them to be connected with God Almighty, have never given them the basic information to do their search on their own. So therefore, sometimes people come up with these questions that why we can't see God. Now, again, as I said, that any of these questions that I take, it would take a very long time because you can do a whole discussion, a whole class, a whole episode on just talking about, you know, for example, just this question that if we cannot see God, then how can we find him? But to give a simple answer, Allah the Almighty, who has created us, has given us limited senses. Within those limited senses, we can perceive certain things. Even with those senses, we cannot perceive, understand everything. Once we recognize that, once we understand that concept, then it is very easy to know that, you know, not everything is we have to be seeing with our eyes. Just to look at the example, if one asks that why can't we see God, there is electricity, for example, that we never see with our eyes. It is passing through wires, it is passing through different conductors, but you don't see it with your eyes. But you know it exists because of its effect. For example, you'd switch on the bulb and the light switch on, you know, you turn on the switch and the bulb turns on, the light comes on. You know that electricity is passing through right now. If I turn on the switch, the bulb does not come on, you know that there is no electricity. So you don't see it, but because of the consequences, you recognize that there is electricity or there isn't. You go outside, you don't see the breeze. You don't see the breeze at all. But you see that, you know, it could be causing a dust storm. It could be causing trees to, you know, move very, very quickly in the, you know, with the wind, with the breeze. And from there, that is the indication that there is a breeze. There is, you're feeling it too, but you're seeing it as well. Not the breeze in itself, but what it's doing. That same is the concept with God Almighty. God Almighty, you do not see with your physical eyes who God is, but you feel him. You sense him through other things that are happening around you. And the more you ponder, the more you reflect, the more you see God Almighty in everything that is happening. And this is where people differ. This is where somebody who is spiritual, somebody who understands God, or at least has that, at least somewhat level of understanding of God Almighty, they see God in everything. When they look around, they go to a garden, they see God there. They see actions of God. They see God's works taking place. That behind all these things, God is doing things. This is who God is. This is who Allah is. So again, as I said, that each or any of these questions that you go into, it will take a very long time to fully do justice to it. But that is, the more you reflect about God, the more you search for God in your surroundings, the more you see Him. But if someone truly wishes to experience God, experience Allah, that who is Allah? If God exists, then you want to feel His power, His magic, His might, or His mercy, His love, His everything. Then pray to God. The best way of knowing the existence of God is acceptance of prayers. When you make prayer and Allah listens to your prayer, that in itself is the biggest proof that God Almighty exists. Then after that, one could say anything to you, you would not budge. Because you have seen, you have witnessed the phenomenon, the power of God, the existence of God. So in summary, Allah, when we say Allah, we refer to one God, the only God, the same God that sent all the other religions. Allah is not a different being from those other religions that preach about oneness of God, or the ones that teach about the eternal being, the ones that speak about the master, the creator, the originator. That is who God Almighty is. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, the founder of Ahmadiyya Muslim community, he has written extensively about God Almighty throughout his various books. So I've just taken one passage from the book, The Will. This is one of his last book that he wrote. In this book, he says, explains about God Almighty. He says, nothing comes into existence without him, without God. He reveals himself through his powers, his omnipotence, and his signs. We can attain him only through him. He always reveals his being to the righteous and shows them his omnipotence. And this is the only means by which he is recognized, and the path he favors is recognized. He sees without physical eyes, and hears without physical ears, and speaks without a physical tongue. So now, this again is so profound the way he explains it. This is who God Almighty is. That sometimes, because we have our limited means, limited senses, we try to picture God within this framework. That the limitations that we have, God should have those limitations as well. If that is what we want, then we will never be able to find God Almighty, because Allah the Almighty says in the Holy Quran that there is none like unto him. There is nothing that can be compared to God. So this is important to understand, that when we are looking, when we are searching, when we are reflecting about these attributes of God Almighty, we need to understand the entire picture that messengers of Allah, prophets of Allah, saints of Allah have described, so that we understand properly. Now, another passage on the same topic, he explains, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he says, likewise, or similarly, it is his work to bring a thing into existence from nothingness. For example, in dreams you see how he creates a whole world without matter, and shows you every mortal and non-existent being as having existence. Thus are all his powers. Ignorant is he who denies his powers. Blind is he who has no knowledge of his profound and inconceivable powers. He can and does everything that he intends to do, except those which are at the variance with his glory, or which are in conflict with his promises. He is unique in his being, in his attributes, in his actions, and in his powers. So this is who God Almighty is. Now, again, I find this passage to be very, amazing, because it describes God in a way that normally we were not even thinking at that level. He, the promised Messiah, you know, receiving revelation from God Almighty, guidance from God Almighty, he gives the example. He says, look at the dreams that you have. As long as you're sleeping, as long as your sleep is not disrupted, whatever you see in that dream, it is real to you. To you, it is real. And it has come into existence without any matter. And strange phenomena are taking place inside of dreams. So God Almighty, it is who creates that world out of nothing for you. So what you perceive in this world, living in this life, is only limited to what God has given you power to recognize. In our own time, we should reflect upon the dreams and how they create a new world for us with their own limitations, own, you know, limited senses, limited feelings, limited everything. This is who God Almighty is, that once you start reflecting upon that and you make comparison, this is how we understand God better. The more you reflect about the universe, the more you reflect about everything around us, the better we understand God Almighty. So there is only one God, that is Allah. You can call him Allah, you can call him Yahweh, you can call it the Master, the creator, the originator, the provider, all these things, the merciful, the gracious, the loving one, you know, the one, not just any person that contains these attributes, but the one that the most, the supreme in these things, that is Allah the Almighty. Now, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is a messenger of God, is a prophet of God. He is not God. So especially to those of our guests, to them also, but particularly to our members, we should understand this, that when our you know, friends, those who are not Muslim, sometimes ask us questions, or even when they don't ask us questions, we need to elaborate ourselves to them, because they sometimes do not know what our belief is. Many of the times I've come across people that think that we worship, God forbid, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We do not worship Prophet Muhammad. We do not worship anyone beside God Almighty. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a messenger of Allah. He's a human like you and me. And that is why he is a role model for us. Allah is not our role model, because Allah is above all. Our role models are prophets, messengers that receive the teachings from God Almighty, and they live according to those teachings. When they live according to those teachings, then it is an example for us that if they can do it, then we can do it as well. This is who a prophet is. This is who Prophet Moses was. This is, you know, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and before them, Noah and Adam and all of them. They were all prophets of God that received revelation and acted on that revelation, showed the world that this is what God has said, and look at me, how I do it, and you should do it as well if you want to go closer to Allah. This is who a prophet is, and Prophet Muhammad is no different. Except that he brought the final religion, the last religion, the complete religion, and he brought the final scripture, that is the Holy Quran. What Allah the Almighty had revealed to the previous nations' religions, they were parts. Allah the Almighty said that this is how much you can bear right now, so take that. But when mankind was ready, God Almighty sent Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, with the complete teaching. Jesus, peace be upon him, is quoted in the Gospel of John saying that I have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. You're not ready for them. Because as a prophet, Allah the Almighty has given him certain spiritual understanding, but mankind at large do not possess that understanding. So when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came in light of the prophecies of Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses, Prophet Isaiah, Prophet Abraham, and so many other prophets, that is when Allah the Almighty revealed the final scripture, Holy Quran. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the one who received it first and brought it to us or gave it to us. We do not worship him. We do not worship any prophet of God Almighty. We worship Allah. We worship God. We worship the Almighty alone, none beside him, because there is none worthy of worship beside God Almighty. God Almighty is all powerful. Everyone else that existed or everything else that has come into this universe is for a limited period of time. It's humble. It's not all powerful. That includes prophets of God Almighty. Jesus, peace be upon him. We spoke about the, you know, atonement, the concept of atonement a couple of weeks ago. Jesus, peace be upon him, his humbleness. When I say humbleness, meaning his weakness, right? As a human, is visible throughout his life when he is tortured. He's put through pain through all these by all these people. Similarly, other prophets too went through pain, went through trouble. They were human. They had the weaknesses of a human. That we come to this world, we die. This is a weakness that is with us. We feel pain, right? This is a strength and a weakness. This is how God Almighty has created us. But God Almighty himself is above all this. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When we speak about him, we are referring to not somebody whom we worship. We are referring to a messenger of God, a human whom God Almighty sent for our guidance, just like God Almighty sent Prophet Abraham, Prophet Ishmael or Isaac or Noah or, you know, so many, all these other prophets. So with that, I have some more notes to go through, but I think it would be best that I leave them for another time. With this, I take your leave. May Allah keep you well. May Allah keep you healthy. If you have any question, you can always send it to my WhatsApp. Inshallah, we can take it up in our next meeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.